Yo, all right, guys, halacha smackdown. This one is actually nogea. I went to a hypnotist earlier this year. There was a hypnotist in town. I wanted to try it and see how it was. And to see what the stick is good. He's gonna look. Oh, boy. Okay, but I was once at a party. My father was hypnotized at a party. They have these things. They're a lot of fun. Hypnotherapy is very big now. To try to heal you through hypnosis. There's a guy in L.A. His name is Kerry Gaynor, who's actually got like thousands of people to stop smoking, even within our community. This guy hypnotizes you. He sits there. He talks to you, hypnotizes you, and you're done right afterwards. Mom is done. So this guy, the question is that a kosher thing or not? So I want to start at the top. You can put the definition for hypnosis from the Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic is one of the most important research hospitals in the entire world. People from all over the world, if they have something very severe, will go through the Mayo Clinic. Here we go. I'm giving you the definition. Hypnosis, also referred to as hypnotherapy or hypnotic suggestion, is a trance-like state in which you have heightened focus and concentration. Hypnosis is usually done with the help of a therapist using verbal repetition and mental images. When you're under hypnosis, you feel calm, relaxed, and are more open to suggestions. Hypnosis can be used to help you gain control over undesired behaviors to help you cope better with anxiety or pain. That is the definition of hypnosis. Through images and verbal cues, I'll condense it, for images and verbal cues, the hypnotist is able to put you in a trance-like state to access a part of your subconscious you normally would have a tough time accessing otherwise. Okay? Watch this. Not my else, sit back. Okay? Follow this? When I snap my finger, you're out. Yeah. See? He's in. Okay, wake back up. Okay. So. Oh, it was a great scene. My father and his best friend were hypnotized at a party, and the other guy who was hypnotized, the hypnotist said, I want you to pretend you're on stage, Saturday Night Live, you're giving the best comedic performance of all time. And you're about to tell the greatest joke in history, and when I snap my fingers, you're going to forget the punchline. And the guy, Mamish, got up there hypnotized, and it was like the greatest joke. He's building up to it, and you're done, you can't wait for the punchline. And all of a sudden, the hypnotist goes, and the guy, Mamish, got so embarrassed, like he's in front of national TV, and he's like, oh gosh, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe... And he's like turning red, and he wants to get off stage, and he wants to, I should just go. And the hypnotist says, sleep. And he falls asleep, and he says, when I snap again, you'll remember the punchline, and it's as though you never forgot it.
What's the joke?
What? I absolutely can't say it. But the punchline was, wow, I didn't know he was Jewish. And all of a sudden, everyone is dying. The whole place is laughing. All right, fine. I don't remember the joke, but I just remember the punchline. I didn't know he was Jewish. Okay. So now... I was only able to find three poskim that to talk about hypnosis. The first one is the author of the famous Aruch Laner. His name is the Binyan Tzion, the Sefer Binyan Tzion, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He was a German Rav, the 19th century, 1800s, and one of the leaders of Orthodox Jewry there, the Binyan Tzion. Massive Talmud Chacham. The Aruch Laner is an awesome set of Sfarim for any good library. The Binyan Tzion, we'll call it, because it's in the Binyan Tzion. That Sefer is the Aruch Laner.
Is it Edmund of Hirsch?
What?
Is it Hirsch?
He was one generation. He was, they cover over, Talmud Chaver. So the Binyan Tzion says the following. He says, people tell these wild stories about how, by the way, box number one, Binyan Tzion, about how in a sleeping state, they can tell things that are happening in faraway places. So someone can hypnotize you to get information of things that are in faraway places. He says, I heard about these crazy stories happening. He says, here are the issues. He lays out issue number one. Issue number one and two, I would say. He lays out two issues. He says, maybe there's an element here of the kochos hatuma. Maybe this is coming from the dark side. Excellent. Black magic. Kochos hatuma. And he said, so I decided to do the research myself, and I went to the Chachmei Umat HaOlam. I went to the wise scientists and people, the doctors. I asked them about it. I found that they argue about whether or not this stuff works, hypnosis works or is valid. Some say yes, Some say it's all false. Some say it's just your imagination running wild while you're in a more relaxed state. So, says the Orach Laner, the Binyan Sion, based on what they were telling me, it's not Kochos Atuma. Why? Because most of them don't even think it really works. Many of them says if it does, it's just because you're more imaginative when you're in that state. That's not Tuma. That's just having your mind free and clear. So based on that, the Binyan Sion says it's not a problem. You don't have to worry about that type of thing. He brings a proof from the Gemara that Rabbi Yochanan allowed himself to be cured by a non-Jewish woman who used some strange type of refuah. If there's a svara that has nothing to do with kochos hatumah based on impurity, you can use it. You can use it as a form of refuah. The second issue he raises is an issue that comes up a lot in halacha. There's a pasuk that says, "Tamim tihiyeh im Hashem Elokecha." You should be simple with Hashem, your God. Jews don't do crazy things when it comes to healing and it comes to remedies. Right? For example, there was a famous thing called the Goral Hagra, where you turn pages to find an answer to a question. You go random and you find pages. Say that Vilna Gaon used to know how to do it. Rav Aryeh Levine used to know how to do it. They went to Rav Chaim Brisker to do it. Rav Chaim Brisker says, it definitely works, but I do not do it because of Tamim Tihiyeh Im Hashem Elokecha. Hashem wants me to be a natural, straight, normal person. I don't do the heebie-jeebie stuff. I don't get involved in that, says Reb Chaim. You got the wrong rabbi for that. By the way, I went with a friend who was very sick to Israel. I'll tell you something amazing. A very straight and rational road, that's not the way I go. So the question number two for the Binyan Sion is, what about that same idea of Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha as opposed to this kind of stuff? So says the Binyan Sion something very interesting. He goes, when it comes to healing, you don't have to use this Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. Meaning, if it's about trying to figure out, should I do the random page opening thing, if I should go for a job in New York or Boston, there the Binyan Sion says don't do it. But when it comes to healing, survival, you do what you can. Even if it means you're going to do something that seems a little bit stranger, as long as not kochos hatumah. So you could do it. That was the Binyan Sion. The truth is, as a comment on the Binyan Sion, so you put that as an asterisk below it, the Minchas Yitzchak says that anything that has no basis in science whatsoever, we don't use it as a refuah. If it's not been validated scientifically, we don't use it. By the way,
what?
The Minchas Yitzchak. It's not its own box. It's an asterisk below Binyan Sion. Yeah, no, beside the normal Jewish options that are seen as the normal derech. Meaning to do other refuahs he's talking about. To go and get yourself in Australia a guy who's going to walk around you and put dust on you. He goes, these types of things, without a basis in science, we stick to science and whatever the Torah normally prescribes, which is Torah Tefillah Tzedakah. Right? Tshuva Tefillah Tzedakah. You're right. Good kasha. So he says that Minchas Yitzchak, that if it's no basis in science, you're going to do it. By the way, the research on hypnosis is mixed. So perhaps it's enough of research that validates it that you would say it wouldn't be a problem according to the Minchas Yitzchak. The second one, yes?
Would all these things apply to like something that also, like, you know, they have psychic readings? So people,
yeah, that kind of stuff might be more kochtuma, you know, telling you if you do this, this will happen. That mamish is nichush. We'll get to that in a moment. So Rav Moshe Feinstein brings up hypnosis. He's the second one who discusses hypnosis. He asked, okay, what about, like you say, isn't this magic, sorcery, kishuf? Isn't this kishuf? So he says, it's not kishuf, because many believe in its medical ability. You could explain, hello, how are you? You could explain how this could work, and you could understand how it could work, because your mind is a relaxed state, they're going into your subconscious. That's not sorcery and witchcraft. So he gets rid of that. He said, that's fine. Now look at the next problem. So we have, by the way, three issues so far. One is the issue of kochos hatumah, dark side. The second issue was tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. Rav Moshe raises the third issue, which is kishuf, sorcery. Listen to the fourth issue Rav Moshe raises. It's fascinating. Rav Moshe says, wait a second. What if this guy hypnotizes you to do things that are prohibited? Once you're under, this guy could say, when you're up, I want you to eat chazer treif on every Tuesday. When you wake up from your sleep state, I want you to wear shotness every week. What, he can get you to do anything. By the way, they say in hypnosis that you can't really do things that you don't yourself truly want to do. You don't want to do. But hypothetically, let's say deep down, you love to do a good Aveira. I don't know. You don't know what kind of guy you're dealing with deep down inside of you. So Rav Moshe says, I'm afraid of this. Now, if you turn to me and say, but that's not your fault, once you're asleep, it's Ones Rachmana Patre. God forgives you. You had no choice at that point. Rav Moshe's answer to that is fabulous. He says, but who told you to put yourself in that space in the first spot to make sure that you were Ones? You understand? You can't put yourself in a scenario. You know what it's like? There's a Tosis in Bava Kama that says you shouldn't sleep next to a fragile vase. Why? Because when you sleep, you might knock it. You'll say, but I was just sleeping. Well, who told you to sleep next to the guy's fancy china? Right? Who told you to sleep next to it? So that's mamish the same issue. So Rav Moshe Feinstein said, if the guy is a kosher hypnotist, it's going to be fine with that issue. You understand? If you're dealing with a guy who you don't know what he's up to, like he can mess you over, then you shouldn't go. But if it's a guy who has a reputation of doing hypnosis on kosher things, good things, he wants you to get you to stop being a negative person, or he's a guy entertainer at a bar mitzvah, and you know he's sensitive to Jewish issues, like, you know, he says, well, make sure you don't use any negative... I was once at a party where the person knew was a frum crowd, and he said, when you're hypnotized, I'm going to give you things that are going to imagine you're getting hurt, but I don't want you to use bad language. You know, so that guy was sensitive to a kosher crowd. So Rav Moshe is basically saying a kosher hypnotist should be okay. Now, the next issue Rav Moshe raises, which now we're up to issue number 5, right? Again, first is kochas atuma. Number 2 was tamim tiyam Hashem alakecha, try to stay simple. Number 3 Rav Moshe raised was the kishuf. Number 4 was the guy's going to make you do prohibited things. Number 5 now, the third one in Rav Moshe, is what about making a fool out of yourself? He's not talking about a regular hypnotist, he's talking about a party hypnotist. Party hypnotist gets you to walk around like an ostrich and like to think you're like a gopher for 10 minutes or something like that. So what about making a fool of yourself? This is Rav Moshe still. Where do we know there's an Isser to make a fool of yourself? So listen to this proof. Gemara in Sanhedrin 26b says, you should try to avoid receiving charity from the other nations of the world because it's humiliating. It's humiliating that you, the Jew, have to go around begging from other people. So forget the details of that case specifically, but Rav Moshe says, you see from there, it's usher for a Jew to mavaza themselves. You don't humiliate yourself. The Rambam paskins, someone who is always mavaza themselves is pussel for testimony. Someone who they're day in, day out, they walk around, what's a guy who puts pie, lemon pies in his face all day in the street. That person can't give testimony. He's pussel edus, according to the Rambam. So here, why would this be fine? Number one, we're talking about for refuah, for healing. And number two, beyond the healing issue...
But you're in a party.
What? Party, also you could say...
Okay, but if it's doing it in private...
Yeah, Ram's right. Also, nowadays, we're mezalzel ourselves anyways in much different ways. We embarrass ourselves in a lot of different ways. The fact this guy wants you to walk around like an ostrich is the least of your mezalzel problems.
People drink on firm and do the same
thing. Oh, excellent, Mermelstein. Beautiful. Mermelstein, great comment. Good, I agree. Maskin. Now, the last is the Nefesh HaRav Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Schechter, my Rebbe, wrote a book, three volumes about his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, and it's called Nefesh HaRav. And he said he was in shir when at the end of the shir they asked Rav Soloveitchik if you could do this for fun, for a party. They wanted to have a shir party, Purim. He said, it's usher to have this kind of thing, this kind of leitzan, it's usher, he said. So they're like, why? What's the Avodah Zarah here? What's the Kochas Atumah here? He said, it's not because it's Avodah Zarah, Kochas Atumah, but listen to his answer, number 6. It's because it's shtus. It's stupidity. It's shtus, it's stupidity. Rav Schechter actually writes in the Nefesh HaRav the letters Samech Tet Vav Pei Vav Dalet. Stupid. Stupid. So they asked the Rav about a karate class in YU, in Yeshiva University. And he said, it's good exercise, great. And I said, what about the idea of bowing to the sensei? Bowing to the sensei. He said, if YU can do away with the bowing to the sensei, that's great, because otherwise it's shtus. There's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. So meaning, what I'm trying to tell you is Rav Soloveitchik was talking about a whole new category of halacha. There are things that we just don't do because it's shtus, shtuyot. It's shtus. It's not usher because it's avodah zarah. So, what?
Why is Don in something shtus?
Meaning, if it's not someone who's even raised in that culture. Someone who's not raised in that culture, and the karate teacher at YU was a Jewish-American guy. But you're right. If you can make the argument of why it's not shtus, there's a reason it's based on this. then fine. But take the principle from Rav Soloveitchik. The principle is things that are shtus, we don't do things that are shtusim. So the difference between these opinions is, what about a case where we do shtus? On Purim itself, we mamish do shtus. It's part of the day of Purim. We get involved in a little bit of shtuyas. So then according to that, it might be allowed. Also for the sake of a chasen mekala, dancing in front of the chasen mekala, we do a little buffoonery. So maybe there too, shtus and shtuyot would be allowed a little bit more than in general, stam to do things for no reason. So if there's good basis, bottom line, good basis for a hypnotist, and he's not trying to mess you over, and it's not just to make everyone make fools of themselves, but it's for a constructive purpose, then for sure it should be...